Praise God. We are so glad to be here. Your church looks so beautiful from outside, all the glass and the lights. And you come inside, you look so beautiful. Amen? Everyone looking like Jesus. Amen. You know, in Daniel 11 chapter, verse 32, we read, the people that do know their God shall be what? Strong. Everybody say strong. And if people are strong, they don't sit idle. What's the next one? They what? They do something. Strong people do something. And the strong people don't do ordinary things. What do they do? Everybody say exploit. Everybody say exploit. Say, I'm here to exploit the devil's territory. Hallelujah. Christians are not ordinary people. Extraordinary people. Amen? Extraordinary people don't do ordinary thing. I tell people, if you don't do anything extraordinary, you don't need God. You can do it. If you don't attempt something impossible, you don't need Him. You can do it, right? If you think you are getting God involved in your life, in your action, you must be doing something impossible. For example, you do many things that are impossible. You don't sin when temptation comes. Naturally, young man will fall for sin so easily, but he lifts his guts level of faith and says, I'm above all these things, get out of me. Like Joseph, all alone, there's nobody above Potiphar's word. He said, I'm above all this silly sin. I got a bigger call. Amen? So, they don't fall for ordinary thing. The people who are strong, they look for something beyond what is trying to tease them, tantalize them, captivate them. And, you know, you do a lot of things that's impossible. You give and you don't have much. That's not possible. And you begin to sow more when the economy is down. That's impossible. Amen? So there are a lot of things we do that's impossible for other people to think possible. Because God did something impossible all the way through. For example, the flood came. Everybody sank. Except one family. Wow. Everybody would have tried to have a little log canoe or something. In a hurry, they tried to put together. Yeah, they didn't believe, and Noah said, well, really, coming, man, it's almost 2 feet, now 3 feet. Let's have something. You don't try to sow seed in a hurry. You should be sowing seed already. Hearing the word of God, Noah was warned of God of things not seen yet. Nobody has seen rain until 7th chapter of Genesis, 11th verse. You know, in the Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 says, God, the Lord God has not caused it to rain. There was no man to till the ground. And there is no sower. The rain blessing won't come from above. So the 6th verse says, a little bit of dew went above the ground. Just a little bit dab on the face of the earth, wet the face. So if you are not that sower, not tilling the ground, putting your seed, you don't get this rain kind of blessing from above. All you get is the blessing from beneath. It's the dew kind of blessing, not the rain kind of blessing. We all know the dew kind of blessing, the mist from the earth made the face of the earth wet, didn't even go inside. That's what I call the sprinkler system blessing. Sprinkler system will grow only grass. Rain will grow trees full of fruit. Amen? Sprinkler system make the grass go about up to the ankle level, maybe up the knee level. The rain kind of blessing make the tree grow taller than you. You shall be like a tree. Amen? Planted by the rivers. Amen? Giving a fruit in due season. So when you are like a tree with a fruit, nobody looks at the tree like this. That's a grass level. To look at the tree, how do you look? Up. People will look up to you because you are dwelling under the rain kind of blessing. Amen? Praise the Lord. All these things are not understood. So when there was no rain until, you know, all through these ages, I don't want to give you the number, how many years. I don't want to even say a number. I know how many years it took for it to rain. They didn't see. They didn't see any rain. Now God is talking to a man, the only man in that age, during the dispensation of human government, conscience time. Noah, I'm going to send you the flood. Flood? How does it look like? Haven't seen rain from above. You're going to pour it down 40 days. Am I hearing right? See, when you don't even have a rain kind of blessing, you can be ready for a flood kind of blessing. Amen? You are connected to this grace fellowship, and they operate by faith. It's not just grace only. You know, if you preach only grace and make the people to live by grace, you will all end up in disgrace. You know what grace and what faith is? I'm finishing that book, Understanding Grace and Faith. People don't understand. The best thing is grace in the kingdom of God. Amen? Don't get me wrong. Grace is the best thing. But that's not everything for your living.
Just understand this. What grace and faith. Sounds like my voice. Albert. They sing bass baritone opera. In the college days, never sang anywhere in grace churches. And what is grace? What is faith? This is a little preparation of the ground, tilling the ground to sow the heavy duty faith stuff coming. Okay? Grace is very important. What's the most important organ in your body? The first most, the topmost important, heart, right? The next one is what? Brain. I like this group. So, grace is like heart. Okay, a man goes to an interview, job interview, and then stands there, smiles, and talks to him. Okay, let's get going. So, you got what? What do I have from you that I can hire you? What do you can give me on the job? I have a very good heart. Really? that's good for your family. You go home. He's looking for something else. Just above the heart. He's looking for what you got here. Right? So, heart gives you the life. Brain gives you the living, livelihood. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by, not grace, faith. Amen? It's important, but the brain works by pumping of blood from the heart. It is all connected to grace. Amen? So when you understand that, you need to make your faith grow. Learn more about faith. Nobody goes to school or college to improve their heart. Right? What do they go there for to improve their brain? You come to church not to improve upon your grace. You got all the grace you need. God said, my grace is given what all you need to have. When Paul went and asked the Lord to take care of the devil, and God said, I have done all I should do for you. My part is grace. Your part is faith. Go use your faith, Paul. Why Paul went and asked the Lord three times? Paul hasn't arrived here on the day one. He was also growing. He did not know how to use his faith. He was depending on the grace of God that saved this kind of vilest man. If that could save me, it could help me in any angle. No, not so. The grace is to change your inside. Amen? And your faith will keep what is changed and will change your outside. Praise the Lord. When we know the perspective where this one stands and that one stands, we will arm ourselves. We will help ourselves to grow in the right direction. Amen? You know, grace is enough. Grace is like the earth. Whatever God gave, earth and the trees and the rocks. If you just live by the earth and the tree and the rock, you have to sleep under the tree. You will get sleep and you will also get rain and the snake. So if you just live by the grace of God, oh, God's grace is enough for me. You will suffer on the way. You understand? So that's why Paul said, you are born by faith. By grace are you saved through faith. You stand by faith. And you walk by faith. You talk by faith. We believe, therefore we speak. You pray by faith. Amen? And anything attacking you, you lift the shield of grace? No. Where is grace all along this battlefield? It's underneath, sustaining you to stand. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then every time you need anything, it is your faith. Jesus said in 11 places, thy faith, according to thy faith, not according to my gifting, according to thy faith. Amen? So we need to understand. We need to know all the livelihood matter. You know, if you live by faith, you need to know faith. If you live by pharmacy, you are a pharmacist, you need to know all about pharmacy. You need to go to seminar about pharmacy, new medicine. Amen? You need to go update yourself. So you need to update your faith. You cannot update grace. It's all there. Praise God. And when Paul went and asked Jesus or the Lord to take care of the devil that has been tormenting in Acts 16, chapter 17 and 18. Oh, these are great men of God. Show you the way of salvation. He didn't like that. He didn't like that. The Bible says, this did she many days. And Paul, being grieved in the spirit, 18th verse, he looked at her and said, get out of her in the name of Jesus. And it left the same moment. What should have left the same moment has been grieving him for a long time. Some things in your life is grieving you for a long time. Why? You are not upset in your spirit and use your violent faith to rebuke it. Amen? Praise the Lord. You have to stand and say, devil, that's enough. Enough is enough. I'm fed up with you. Get out of my sight. Praise the Lord. Amen? How many of you will say that? Now we'll go to this exploits of faith. 2 Kings chapter 3. Verse 26 and 27. Scripture on the screen or? No, somebody. It's there? Okay. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 26. Oh, yeah, there's Daniel 11:32 is there. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. Praise God. Three levels. And 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. And the kings of Moab. Yeah. And the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him. He took with him 700 men that drew sword to break through even unto the king of Edom. But they could not. They tried to break through the garrison, the army that's coming against. Three kings were coming. And then the next verse, what did he do? He took his elder son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. What did he do? He tried everything. Finally, he gave like nobody could give. He gave the eldest son who will be ruling next to him, offered him. When you do the best that no one could do, all those three kings coming against the king of Moab, they went back. They were shaking. The ground they were standing, they were all shaken by this one man's sacrifice. Amen. Praise the Lord. The world, the devil, the flesh will be shaking when you begin to give. You know, when Abraham gave in Genesis chapter 22, verse 10, when Abraham stretched his hand, the whole heaven, Genesis 22, verse 10, Abraham stretched his hand. Genesis 22:10. Anyway, you got in the Bible. There it is. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Actually, he killed Isaac 3 days ago. Amen. He was walking. He's already killed in his heart, inside. So he's climbing up the resurrection of Isaac. So when he stretched forth his hand, 11th verse, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here I am. He said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. Even heaven doesn't know until you do what you said you're going to do. Now I know that you fear God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, the best gift you've been waiting for 25 years to get. You were offering. And then what happened? Next, 16th verse. 16th verse, these are all good sermon, 13, 14, 15. By myself I have sworn, the Lord says. The Lord has sworn upon himself, I have sworn. What kind of action the Lord is taking? The Lord said, Thou shalt not swear. Abraham made that God who said, You shall not swear, to swear himself. You know why? He has done something nobody has done. That will shake God's heart. That'll shake all heaven loose. You heard all hell loose? I say all heaven loose. All heaven loose. And Abraham really knocked God off the ground, I don't know, 10 feet. Praise God. Wow. He is doing something I plan to do. He is still ahead of my game. In giving, you can get ahead of God. It's all right. Amen? God will not say, oh, that's too much. Nothing is too much. Praise God. He always have too much more to give you back. Amen? He swore. He just shook. Nobody gave like Abraham gave. Praise the Lord. I was about to say how many years later. I'm not going to say. That many years, nobody has shown the loyalty, the faithfulness, and the courage of what he believed. He had a lot of courage to do many things. You know, I preached on Sunday night in Grace, Maine. The 7 tests Abraham passed. You know, faith has tests. Amen? Praise the Lord. Song is no song until it is sung. Bell is no bell until it is rung. Faith is no faith until it is tested. That's why it says the trying of your faith. 1 Peter 1:7 says, the trial of your faith is much more precious than the gold that perishes in the fire. Because whenever something happening, a test and trial coming your way, it is not trial of your body for the sickness. It's not trial of your finance for your situation. It's not the trial of your job shaking. It's all trial of your, amen. Everybody say that word, faith. Faith. Amen. It is the trial of your faith. One man said in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where he used to live for a long time, and he was a big man. He used to take a team of 30, 40 people maybe, circus team, Christian circus. He's been traveling South America and some other countries and all down America. And they will tie tightrope walk between 2 tall buildings and then stand there and then give a testimony, you know. Like, anybody believe I can do if you come, you know, all those faith testimony. And then I told them, it'll be nice if you come to India with your team. Then after some time, he said, Don Paul, I got a problem. What problem you have? I was calculating financial problem. It's not a money problem. It's all your faith problem. Faith is the substance of things you expect. Faith does not have the substance. Faith is the substance. If you have faith, you have money. If you have faith, you have job. If you have faith, you have house. If you have faith, you have your good spouse. You have faith, you have health. You have if faith is the substance of anything you desire to get it. To explain that, I'll tell you this. God doesn't have love. Why? God is. If he has love, he will have more sometime. He will have less sometime. But if you have money, sometimes you have more money, sometimes you have less money. Amen? God is love. Everything about him is love. God is light. Amen? He does not have light. He is light. Praise the Lord. So same way, faith doesn't have your substance. Faith is that substance. You have to work your faith, get the finished product. Amen? Faith is the raw material, the tree you just cut to get the finished work of the table you want to get. Some work has to be done to have the finished product you desire to get. Amen? So when you begin to offer something like this, my God, all 3 enemies, the ground was shaking. Just like Abraham's offering shook heaven, this man offering shook the ground, earth. There was shaking. Amen? Praise the Lord. You can shake all the enemies. Enemies the devil is trying to build. Enemies the flesh is trying to bring. Enemies the world is trying to throw at you. You can do that by giving the best offering for the kingdom of God. Anytime you face any situation, try to give something to God. Amen? Praise the Lord. What's the first record, report of the 11th chapter of Hebrew? You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The thing that appear have been made by the thing that does not appear. And then the fourth verse is the report of the faith works. By faith, Abel offered offering a more excellent sacrifice. Amen. The first action in a Christian walk is offering. You offer yourself. Amen. You give your heart. My son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes behold my ways. First, you offer your heart, means your whole life. That's why Jesus, when he walked in 1st chapter, verse 29, John said, behold the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God. The first picture of Jesus was the sacrifice picture. The first thing you enter to the tabernacle, brazen altar. After you do the altar work of sacrifice, you enter. Amen? So, number one, everybody say, give like nobody can give. Amen? Praise the Lord. He offered the eldest son. Can you imagine? He tried to send all those top soldiers. Nothing could happen. Tried everything. He offered his one. Number two, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. And the whole country was having famine. Siege outside. No semi trucks are bringing bananas inside. Everybody is starving. And then people were trying to eat whatever they can get their hands upon. Finally, they're talking to ladies. You boil your little one today. I will tomorrow. You know, she didn't say, I'll boil mine. You give me yours. She said, you boil yours first, you know. When tomorrow comes, she said, we can change the game. And the tomorrow came, she did not offer the little one. They were fighting and they went to the king. What aileth thee? They said, yesterday I gave my little one. We cooked and ate. She's supposed to give little one today. When the king heard it, he wore sackcloth. He tore it. My God, my country has gone to that level. My God, while they were all doing that, Elisha was sitting. The last two verses of sixth chapter, he was sitting with the elders. How to change the curtain of the church, huh? How to redecorate our front appearance of the church. The whole Samaria was going to dogs. I mean, I'm telling you. And the elder are talking with the prophet of the nation who has the answer. Talking. And the king sent a sword for the head of Elisha. I don't know whether you know. These are all heavy duty message. I'm not going into it. Tell them you are telling them or killing them. That's the message. You're going to lose your head if you don't tell them. That's part two of that message. Elisha was about to lose his head. And then Elisha said, the Lord, why should I wait for the Lord anymore? Actually, the Lord was waiting for him. 7th chapter, verse 1. 2 Kings, 7th chapter, verse 1. Did I say that? Yeah. And Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Where was the word of the Lord? It was inside him. Amen? He wasn't giving out. When the time situation needs, everything around you are going down and down and everybody is in a hopeless situation, you have the answer when you speak the word of God. Whatever you speak will happen. Praise the Lord. Like somebody said recently, if the Lord God Almighty calls the black dog going that way, it's a brown dog. It will become after he said it. Amen. You can do the same thing.
after you said it, it is so. Amen? Even if it's not so while you are saying it. That's what Jesus said in John 6:63. The words which I speak, they are spirit. And then what? It's your life. As long as you are speaking, it is a spirit. Because tongue is the only member of your anatomy, the body, that is connected to your spirit. Nothing else. When you speak, your spirit is coming. Amen? So, the word which I speak, they are spirit. And then, after it is finished speaking, after you finish speaking, it is life. What kind of life you want? You speak that kind of word. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, Elisha, hear ye the word of the Lord. My God, every one of you coming to church every week, you got the word of God inside of you. When you face situation, if you don't speak, the king will send somebody. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Tomorrow, everybody say tomorrow. Tomorrow, about this time, there is a clearance sale in King's warehouse. That's what he said. This time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Wow! Clearance sale, cheaper than what you've been paying so far. How did that happen? Because the man of God spoke. Amen? Even if the whole city is dying, perishing, even if all the report on television is against, you can stand up and speak. Amen? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! We went to do a crusade in South India, in one particular place, because we left India a long time ago, we forgot all the seasons of the places. And after 20 years I went to India to do the crusades, I lived here that long before I went for the ministry. And then they booked me in a wrong season. They checked my schedule, that's the only week I have left. So I said, okay, we'll have crusade, open ground crusade. Because I'm spending money, they didn't care about the season. Even if he preaches one day, we gain some souls. So, on that day, November the 16th, 1988, a newspaper, national newspaper. I don't think you have any national newspaper, do you? No. New York Times, sometimes Wall Street, kind of national, you know. And national newspaper in India called The Hindu. That's the national newspaper. And the front page, they said, tomorrow, with the Indian map, a biggest hurricane is coming to Nellore, where we have crusade. And everybody brought their newspaper, said, Reverend John Paul, please, tomorrow, we won't be able to have crusade. Sorry to tell you. Yes, you see that newspaper. What do you mean? Hurricane? Another man behind him said, every year, we get hurricane this week. The other man leaked out the matter. So you know that every year it comes, and you booked me for this week. Well, their mistake, in a way, was changed to their blessing. You know that? Then I took my pen and said, we are here. I bring 30, 35 people throughout India, wherever we do crusade. Take a team. We are here, we are all in the hotel. This hurricane supposed to come to Nellore, N-E-L-L-O-R. You ask any Indian, that's the worst place in the whole of India, susceptible for any kind of hurricane. I drew a line. This hurricane that's supposed to Nellore is going towards east. Next day, November 17th, India National Newspaper, those people came running and said, Reverend John Paul, what you said is what the newspaper is printing. Yes, so 17th, you're starting a Friday crusade. I went there,
They were all there seated. I mean, first day was not a big crowd, 25,000 or something. So they were sitting there. Why are you laughing? How many of you are Christian? I said, stand up. I said, they're all just shaking. Yes, they're looking at us, looking at other people. They're all, yes, they're all Christian, really. Lift up your Bible. They lifted their Bible. You know what's inside that Bible? You don't know. That's why you had a hurricane 100 years. Every year it was coming, 100 years. You don't know what the Word of God says. Job 38 and Psalm 109 have set the boundaries. It should not overtake the land. You can command. 146, the hail, the wind, snow, obey the Word of God. And I said, everybody stand up. Starting today, Nellore will never ever have a hurricane forever. And everybody lift your hand, shout toward the sky. You are not attacked anymore. And we went to that Nellore, that five-day crusade. And next day, newspaper, the hurricane that's supposed to come, front page, went to Bangladesh. I didn't send to Bangladesh. Sorry about that. It destroyed that little country. Amen. And then what happened was, next year we went to another state to do hurricane came. That's another worst hurricane. We were traveling by the train. Well, the wind was blowing. The train was swaying. So I just tried to lift the door. The window was closed. I saw the coconut tree touching the ground, bending with that wind. I said, what's happening? Hurricane, really? We landed in Vizag. It's another city. We landed there, and the man who organizes is an engineer, respectable man. He came with a raincoat and said, Reverend John Paul, we cannot have crusade. Please, we got to cancel. I said, crusade is tomorrow. This is today. He said, look, the water is up to waist level. We don't even know where the road is. You cannot go to the hotel. Don't worry. Get me a taxi. It took 2 hours to go to 5 miles because the guy didn't know where the road is, you know, we reached the hotel. Next day, I mean, we have 35 people praying. They believe like the leader and I began to walk up and down. About 12 o'clock, that engineer came again. Reverend John Paul, still blowing. It's not 6 o'clock. It's 12 o'clock. Go back. He was begging me, please, my name will be, you know, repaired in this town. About 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, I was walking in the hotel room. Lord, when I worked for Xerox, they sent me everywhere. They backed up what they sent me for. I was backed by all those power, all the chairman. They gave me all the support. I've been traveling so many places to train the people in the systems, and they did what they said they will provide. They gave me everything. Now I am working for you. You sent me here. This is ridiculous to continue this thing. Stop it right now, I said. And then we looked outside the hotel, said, okay, enough is enough. Stop in the name of Jesus. By 5 o'clock, the sun started shining. The hurricane stopped. The road water started dried up. A man came running joyfully. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The roads are dry. We can have a crusade. Instead of 20,000 the first day, only 2,000 came. Hey, in the midst of hurricane. Like the Thursday night crowd. These are the people who had faith. Amen. Everybody say, I have faith, so I'm going to do some exploits. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then after 20 years after that, we went to Nellore again to conduct a youth rally for 3 days for 2,000 young people locked in the presence of God. And when we walked up the stage, they all said, isn't this that Reverend John Paul who stopped the hurricane? We stopped. They didn't have it for 20 years. And at that time, now, 88 to now what? 22, 24, 25 years. Still, they don't have a hurricane. Isn't that wonderful? If every preacher in India can declare boldly, the nation could change. Amen? If you are talking what the newspaper is printing, that's what you are declaring to happen. But if you talk something beyond what newspaper is printing, they will print what you are talking. Amen? We are not supposed to talk what they are printing. They are supposed to print what we are talking. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Do some exploit. Prophesy like nobody can prophesy. Even when the whole city is in the downgradable situation, worse condition, even the king is about to kill you, take your head off, you can speak boldly. Amen? I would say another statement. Even if you are about to lose your head, you can still speak the word of God. Praise the Lord. If you are about to lose job, speak the word of God. If you are about to lose your health, speak the word of God. Even if you are about to lose your head, the man is having a rifle in front of you. You can still speak the word of God. Come to think of that, I was conducting crusade in Punjab. You know the guy with the turban? They are tremendous dedicated for what they are called for. If you tell the man on the 10th floor to jump off the 10th floor, he will jump. He won't ask you a question. There's a joke about them because they do whatever is commanded at them, you know. There's a joke about them. It's called Sardarji. One man came, Mr. Sardarji, Punjabi. He was standing on 20th floor terrace and looking up. And suddenly one man came. Sir, your daughter had a heart attack. She died. And she just fainted. He just said, why should I leave? Why should I leave this world? He jumped off the 20-story floor. And then they said, when he was about to come down to the 10th floor, I don't even have a daughter. That's a joke. They say, they have so many jokes about that. I don't even have a doctor. Why did I jump off the roof? So I had crusade there. When the commander says shoot, they will shoot. They won't even ask which one. Wherever the gun is pointing, they will pull the trigger. So when I had crusade, when Indira Gandhi, Prime Minister, was shot by one of them killed Prime Minister. They were supposed to be the security guard. One of the security guard killed her. And so that time it's all blackout after 8 o'clock. And nobody can travel after 8 o'clock anywhere. And intense security. So when her brother and myself landed in Punjab to do crusade, I asked that we are coming to Punjab to do the crusade. How much you need? They said, no, we cannot have crusade. It's very, unrest everywhere, police everywhere. They have sandbags on top of every building. There's rifles sticking up. No, don't come. I said, that's where the gospel of peace must go. They said, really? You are still coming? Sure. And then they just jacked up the price cost of the crusade 10 times. This is what it's going to cost. Okay, we will do ourselves. Don't you worry. We went there. Border security force with the rifle followed us everywhere we went. Because we are out of state. And then I had crusade, 3-night crusade. The first night crusade, I was preaching. One Punjabi came with an AK-47 walking towards me. I said, this is another place. And I looked at him. My people on the pulpit area, the choir and everybody sitting, they begin to speak in tongue. Don't speak. You should have done it before you come here. No time for that. I didn't talk all this. No, not now. Give me that volume up. Used to be 3. They keep me at 3. I said, 9. You with a rifle! Sit down, man! I walked towards him and he froze up. Yes. And then I went up. I didn't say anything. He dropped the rifle. Sat there. See, that's the time you have to show. Otherwise, he's coming towards me. So I walked towards him. That scared anything he ever had. And then the volume I increased, and I said, "You with the rifle brought it." Ooh! Bang! He sat down. At the end of the message, when I gave altar call, this guy came first. I was looking for wrong. He probably was looking for somebody else. He came walking towards me. You know? I was looking for some wrong person. I think this Jesus is the one I really need. Amen? Well, and then we baptized him in the Yamuna River near New Delhi, removing his turban. They will never remove turban, I tell you. Praise the Lord. There are times you have to stick your gun of faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. Everybody lift your hand and said, "I'm not going to be afraid. Even if the whole city is against me, I'll go on top of the roof and speak the word of God." Hear ye the word of the Lord tomorrow. Praise the Lord. When you offer like nobody can offer, the whole earth will shake where the enemies are standing. When you prophesy like nobody can prophesy, the whole city can rejoice. Praise the Lord. And then 2 Kings 7, chapter verse 5 through 10. And there were four lepers. They attempted like nobody could attempt. The whole army inside shivering, afraid of that enemies encamping. And they did not know what to do. And these four lepers, they probably heard Elisha, "Tomorrow, clear and sail." My God, where is that going to be available? Maybe it's probably in the enemy's camp. They were sitting. You know, that itself is a big sermon. Those four lepers, they had good reasoning. If we die, we are going to die only. That's all going to happen. If we sit here, we will die the same way. If we go inside, the starvation will kill us. If we go to the enemy camp, they will kill us. Either way, we are going to die. Sitting, we will die. Going in, we'll die. Going out, we'll die. Which is the better way to die? Let's go to the enemy's camp. When you reason like that, when you analyze all the facts, "I tried everything. I can't do anything. Gave my eldest son." Then you come up with some idea to risk everything you got. Amen? When you have a greater risk, greater attempt, you will have a greater return, greater reward. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, when Abraham lifted up to kill his only son, whom he waited for 25 years of all the ridiculous talking and mocking of the whole country there, he was still offering. My God, he said, "This is the man I'm going to make the New Testament covenant with." It's not Edenic covenant, it's not Adamic covenant, it's not Noahic covenant, it's not Mosaic covenant, it's not Palestinian covenant, it's not even David covenant. It is Abraham's covenant, is the New Testament. Amen? If anybody could dare to believe God like that, God will make that man honor all the way through. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, when he was talking about a rich man dying and then Lazarus dying, you know what he was implying? The rich man went down there and he was asking Father Abraham. What was Jesus saying? "As I am in charge of the above ground level, Abraham is in charge below ground level." If a man like Abraham, who could walk with God, dared to believe, not knowing where he was going when God said, you know, "Abraham, it's like a rifle. Get out of your house. Just come with me." You know what that I call? Hijacked by God. Abraham was hijacked by God. Praise the Lord. When you know the man who hijacks you, you can go with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, "I like to be hijacked by God. I will always be in a better place." Yesterday I was preaching in Pastor Kim's church. The violent faith. Violent is harpazo. Snatch away. Go and catch away. It's like Philip. Just have a little thought what I said there. Just like Philip. snatched away after he baptized in 8th chapter of Acts. He was taken from where he was to where he should be. That's what's going to happen to you. When you show the violence of faith, you will be snatched by the Holy Spirit to be where you should be from where you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Callan heard, that's a good sermon I'm going to use. He always says that. John Paul, you preached one time. We talk over the phone. What did you preach? John Paul, you came last time. You preached on this prosperity equation. Man, I developed 3 sermons out of that. It's good. Prosperous soul equal to health and prosperity, financial. 2 + 2 = 4. If this is not 4, can be 2 + 2. Could be 2 + 1 if it is 3. If your soul understanding is not prospering, one of these will be going down. Amen? See, God doesn't touch your body if you commit something wrong. He touches your material first. Do you know that? When Adam sinned, he was not sick. All through the ages, the people were not sick people of God, but the material was affected. The earth was cursed. And Noah's people, his day sinned, that material earth was affected, and they were all destroyed. Because they were not God's people. Noah, being God's family, was protected. You will never be attacked physically before you are attacked financially. So God gives you a clue. When you are sick, you don't feel like doing anything. When you are healthy and your finances low, at least you can pray. You can change what's wrong. Amen? Because that's what God gave first. First, he created the earth, the material, and then brought the man, flesh, and then breathed the spirit. You see the order? Material, flesh, and the spirit. Amen? When we get saved, the reverse. And our spirit man is born again, and our healing is the next one. And then the prosperity takes a little long to understand. Healing, everybody can believe. Prosperity takes long time. Amen? So everybody say, attempt like nobody. When you begin to have faith to go into the risky territory, attempt something beyond ordinary, you become greater than the king inside. The king is locked in. You are walking towards the enemy camp. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Those lepers don't have fingers. They had a little can. Probably they were clapping their hands and singing. They were clapping, all 4 of them. The enemy camp heard a big army coming because the Lord had the PV system behind them. Amen? Magnified the sound they gave. God will always multiply what he gives. Amen? When you show little faith, you show great faith, he will make it so great faith. Amen? When you give something, he will always multiply. That's why I tell people, give something, man. If you give 0, he will multiply that also. He will have a lot of 0s. When you go for interview, 0 result. When you go for job, 0 result. Amen? He will always multiply what you gave. Okay, let's go to the next one. Amen. 2 Kings 5:10, the little girl, servant girl, Naaman's servant, the commander-in-chief. She commanded the commander. Ooh. There will come a time. Then Elisha says, hear you the word of the Lord. 2 Kings 5:10. Naaman is saying, I came to get my leprosy healed. I thought Elisha will come and touch my body and heal it. You know, he said, I thought, you know, when you join army, first thing you learn, you don't think, right? You don't think, period. That's what they told me, U.S. Army. If you say to the lieutenant, oh, you are late, I thought, who told you to think? Naaman came and said, I thought he will come and touch my body and heal. Not so. Elisha knows. You may be the chief of the army, But I got what you need, man. Obey what I say. I got the word of the Lord. And the little girl said, she literally commanded the commander, Mr. Naaman, I know you will attempt big things. I am a little girl telling you to do little thing. Get off your horse. Dip 7 times like the man of God said. You know, Naaman would have argued, you know, we got all clean water in our place. This is dirty water. Jordan is so low, you know, level water. Oh, probably, all right. She went and dipped first time and came. See? Still the same. I don't believe it's going to work. It's all the fault of the elders, the church. I'm not healed. Second time dip. Oh, it's fault of the sister who brought me to church here. I should have gone to that different church. You know, he dipped all 6 times. Still nothing happened. Amen? That's why anything God tells you to do, if you just try to cut short, may not come out right. Amen? So she commanded like no one commanded. Then miracle of salvation. And he asked Elisha, I have to go with the king. When he bends down in the temple, I have to bend down. That doesn't mean I'm bending to the idol. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to bend down to the idol. I have to go with the king. See, he got saved. He accepted the living God. Amen? If you command like nobody, if you prophesy like nobody, if you give like nobody, if you attempt like nobody, not only you are benefited, the city is benefited. The 4 lepers, the least thought of in the whole nation, changed the whole nation. Amen? Praise the Lord. You may be looked down upon the community as somebody who's doing some floor engineering job, you know. That's what they call floor engineer. Clean it up and nice job. And they say, oh, that's all he's doing. What's he got to tell the community? What's he got to tell the mayor, you know? You have the word of the Lord to speak. Praise God. When Pastor Larry Robbins, I don't know whether you know, you met him at lunchtime. When I went to preach there, one of my friend, his friend, preacher friend is my friend in Akron, Ohio. He has a big church. He told me one day, hey, John Paul, will you preach to my friend? He's got a small church. Well, if he's your friend, no problem. I'll go. You won't stay small too long if you go a couple of times. That's all, you know. I said, I'll do it. If he's a good man, your friend, okay. I did not know how many. I never ask anybody how many people you have in the church. Never in my life. Somebody invite me, I'll just talk to them and let the Holy Spirit say, go, don't go. Amen? So, I just finished speaking in one of the largest church when I was speaking in Dr. Harford Church. He got the blessing, a couple of $1 million or whatever, you know, other people told me. In one message, they paid off that their mall they bought. And he said, John Paul, don't go tomorrow. Another big man is coming. Oh, okay. I canceled my meeting in Tulsa. Cancel it. You'll be happy you stayed. So we stayed next day. The big guy, 6'6", Black Panthers leader or something. Not the one. This guy is a white-skinned black man. Amazing. Big, tall guy. He came. Philip Goodall. I don't know whether you know. He preached, and that night we were all eating. He said, Dr. Harford says, this introducing you, this is John Paul. He preaches faith and prosperity. Oh, really? Not like we preach. He has another angle. Yesterday he preached, I got this blessing. Thing paid up. Oh, he pulled his card and said, whenever you come to Sacramento, will you come to my church? See, I never asked how many, right? He himself said, I only got 13,000. Oh, 13,000? I think I will change my plan. I will come. And the Creflo and all those people were preaching there. Okay, I'll come. So we went there 3 days, back to back. We both preached, tag team. And that man was so excited. Every time some new revelation thought I gave, he come and punched me. I did not know. I had a punch. Bang! I said, what are you doing? The man said, that's what he does. Pastor gets excited with the revelation. He'll punch you. Whew! six man punching me. My God, almost a foot different, man. 5'7" and 6'6". And then said, okay, I may have to cut down some revelation. No, go ahead. And then I said, I'll stand this side. Okay, I can get a couple of more on this side. Then after that, Mike Murdoch came 3 days. I stayed one more day with Mike Murdoch. And then we flew from that church all the way to Houston. And then from Houston to Louisville to preach in this man's church with 12 members. It was 13,000. This is 13 with the pastor. Yeah, this is Brother Larry. And I was preaching faith. Let's go to the other side of the lake and what's on the other side, what's on this side, that kind of first message. And then second time I went there, second year. Then I said, Brother Larry, I cannot keep on coming here. You need to get out of this. You have a nice little holiness church. It was a Pentecostal holiness, UPC, Jesus Only Group. And it's on mountaintop, 15 miles away from the city called Seymour, little city. And when you drive to park, if you don't watch, it'll go down. I said, my God, it was only 600 square feet, including kitchen and bathroom and the whole pulpit and everything. About 12 people were sitting. It looks like disciples, wonderful. So I preached and then said, I cannot come. You need to get out of this mountaintop business, get inside the city. You know how to get a bigger church? I said, okay, let's drive around. Any church you look, you like, stretch your hand toward that and say, God, multiply their membership. Increase their prosperity. You bless them. You always promote. You don't covet, you promote. Amen? I taught this to different people in Oklahoma also. Said, you do that and pray. God bless them. Bless them. Within a year, that church bought a property at the border of Seymour, built probably 3,000 member cathedral, beautiful one. And this was for auction. And the city was auctioning because it wasn't sold for 1 year. Because this man needs it. He needs to get some money for that, right? So Brother Larry, he was loving one shaggy, dirty dressed person comes in the middle of the sermon. Even when I preach, he used to come late. This brother, Pastor Larry, goes after the service, hugs him. Hey, Brother Jim, let's go for lunch. He loved him so much. What happened? Just before he died, he said, my wife never came to see me. My children never came to see me. All the property I'm writing to Pastor Larry Robbins got over $160,000 worth of things. Just loving a man. So he probably put, I don't know, half of that church name. I'm half of that. He has his own. And he was sitting with some money. He lifted his hand. I'm going to be, hey, you country preacher. That's what they told him. You have 12 members, don't mess around, don't waste our time. This is big, man, it's big. I know that. I prayed them out, do you know that? What? I'm going to bid on it. Okay, what is your best bid without starting anything, you know? He said, we will give you, say $1 million? I can give you only $400,000. And I can give you $40,000 cash right now. They just looked at him. Okay, we'll go and talk. And they talked and came out and said, hey, country preacher, you got the building, 500 seated, 25,000 square feet. He bought it. My Lord. Amen. You got to attempt something beyond your limit. Praise God. That's where God is. Beyond your limit is where God starts. Let's all say, I'm going beyond my limit. Do something nobody has done. Speak like nobody could speak. Give like nobody could give. Attempt like nobody could attempt. Command like nobody could command. Praise the Lord. And then finally, I got some more, but I'll just say this is the final. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. Hallelujah. You like it so far? Amen. Are you strong? Let the weak say, God said, let the weak say he's strong, not the strong say he's strong. Amen? Let the weak say he's strong. What does it mean? If he's weak 5 minutes before nine, he will be strong 4 minutes before nine. Amen? Are you strong? Everybody said, yes. Say, I am strong. Will you do exploit? Yes, I will do exploit. Praise the Lord. Drag people to church. We got a lot of seat waiting for you with your name on it. Amen? You know what? If you're thinking of bringing some people, put a little name tag on it. Just, you know, glue stick. It'll come off. Put that. When you come, you see them there. Amen? Hey, you can do it. Hey, I've been seeing your empty seat, man. Why don't you fill it up one day? You do so many things. There were 101 different things to do. I talked to some pastor, I won't mention, recently. You have a nice land. You know one of my friends in Tulsa? He used to preach there, Assemblies of God pastor. And he told me, what are you doing, all this decoration? You got a gazebo in the front yard? Yeah, you know, John Paul, I have only 60 members. It'll be growing. But my income is not from this. You know what I do? I put an ad in the Yellow Page. We will marry anybody in town. When they come, I will tell them after 4 counseling. I get them saved. And we conducted in this premises, very smaller than this. And he had ground everything. We conducted more than 300 weddings every year. Some year 340 weddings. Some year 360 weddings. So my income through the wedding, $350,000 to $400,000 a year. He's got, you know, he had an inspired idea. Amen. He had the gown and the the tuxedo and all those things he's renting for the party. He's got a gazebo reception place. He decorated. He had wedding in the church, reception and gazebo and all the garden. Everybody love it. Oh, my God. He gets some Saturdays. He arranges 4 weddings. 2 hours this, get out. 2 hours this, get out. And he said, I get to preach to 80% to 90% of that crowd. I preach to new crowd and they get saved. My God. There are so many things you can do. You know, there's so many things. Another church, I told you that I preach in so many thousands of churches. I pick up good things from different churches. And one church I went to, and they said, we advertise once a month. We print a little thing, said, we'll fix your car. Bring your parts. We have mechanics in our church. You know how many single mom comes? They don't want to go to the garage. They will rip them off. They don't know what part their car has and everything. And they all come, these fellows are whistling, blessed is the name of the Lord. They don't tell them to come to church. They will fix it and send them back. Surely, some of them, they do come to church. Amen? I mean, there are 101 inspired ideas. I have a list back. And I told one church in India I was preaching, there were 30,000 members. I said, you are 30,000, wonderful to look at. But what's the benefit of the neighborhood? What do they get out of this? You come with a Bible, and they're all dressed in white. I mean, you must see that video. White, holy people. You are so holy with the black Bible and the white dress, and everybody in the street knows that you are holy. What does that do to them? Here's an idea I'll give you. Every first Sunday you come for communion, right? Why don't you do this? Bring some cookie packets, bring some snack, some packets, lunch packet, sandwich packet. Bring them. Give it to the guys on the street. They're only 200, 300 feet away from the church, the big compound. Well, why don't you do that? Good work. You left the good work for the Catholics. We should do good work too. You know what that'll do? Now they will look at you differently. Every first Sunday, there will be people waiting for you. If every one of you 30,000 people do that, wow, the street will be saying, they are doing this outside the church. I wonder what they are doing inside. They will come inside. Amen? All you have to do is some little thing. You don't need to pray 8 hours to get them saved. Just give a sandwich. Amen? Like one man was praying. Oh God, he was kneeling and praying. Kneeling and praying. Billy, oh God, bless Billy, Lord, my next door neighbor. Oh, he needs some blessing, financial blessing. Bless Lord, bless him, Lord. The little boy, his son, about 6 years old, he was running up and up. Daddy, Daddy, your prayer is answered. Really? Give me the key for the vault. We'll give some money. You got the money inside your safe box. You're praying God to give him money, huh? What happened after I preached? We went outside the church. A lot of church people bought the snacks from the store and was distributing. Wow! My driver said, my chauffeur, I don't drive. India, it's not easy to drive. You will know when you get there. The cars, they don't drive in their lane. They come in the middle where the road is perfect. They just move and you get closer. They will come like this. Oh, wonder what he's going to do. He will come straight at you. They will move about 10 or 15 feet. When you get that close, your driver will move, that driver will move. My driver said, Pastor, what you said, they are practicing. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is a good. Do something what nobody has done. Amen. Do something. You all have the power to bless somebody. Amen. I told in Pastor Callan Church when I preached there, bless somebody for no reason. There is no reason. And then they will have a reason to understand why you blessed. Why did you bless? There must be some reason. They find out you are a Christian. That's why you blessed him. Like the girl in Dallas, Texas, Don George Church, big Assemblies of God, 5,000 member church. I was there. He prophesied over me exactly what I was doing. I resigned from Xerox. He said, tomorrow somebody's crossing the ocean. That man of God, when the altar call is given Sunday, he'll ask, how did he come here? They will tell. Give them the testimony. One lady said this. You know how I came here, Pastor? I sent my little girl to school. She was standing in the bus stop. She was standing like this. She couldn't stand steady. One man said after that. And then the guy standing next to her said, what's wrong with your shoe? Let me see. She lifted up. There was a big hole. You know, we are so poor. And that man went and bought Johnson Murphy shoe, put it on my daughter's feet. By that evening, she came, who gave this one? And she said, come to the bus stop tomorrow. And then I went, said, sir, why did you buy this beautiful shoe, expensive one, and put it on my daughter's feet? She was struggling to stand. Then why should you do that? What's the reason? I love Jesus. You love Jesus? So you say you are a Christian? Yes. You must be going to a church, right? Yes. Sir, if you, as a member of some church, it can be so good, I wonder how good your pastor must be. I love to come. So we came. You preach, gave altar call, we are saved. I mean, so many things. Please, don't slack off. Amen? Don't slide down from the normal to backside. Move forward. Jesus said to those Jews, I know you are Abraham's sons. John 8:37. We are Abraham's sons. You say we are in bondage. I know you are Abraham's sons. But you make no progress. No progress. My word has no place in you. You make no progress. Today, let's make a decision. Everybody got faith. We should not lose it without using it. Amen? We should use it. say that one more time, I will give like nobody can give. I will prophesy like nobody can prophesy. I will attempt like nobody can attempt. I will command like nobody can command. I will speak like nobody can speak. 2 Kings 6:15, 16, I said, I'll just rush it and finish it. Hey, the servant came out and said, oh, master, alas, we are surrounded by you. Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. Hey, he had his eyes open. Looking naturally will scare you what surround you. When the Lord opened the eye of faith, he saw something nobody could see. Amen? Say, I will see. Nobody could see. Hallelujah. Please stand up.